Folding Pocket.
Hello and welcome back to The Fast and the Curious with me, Betty Glover.
And me, a very giddy Christian Hugill. And I am giddy because we are back where it all began.
Oh, you're feeling a bit emotional, Christian.
Not emotional. I would say warmly sentimental is what I would say.
Yeah, we're back at Silverstone. A year to the day since we started pointing microphones at cars and in drivers' faces. What a year it has been. We've been all over the world, meeting up with drivers, their teams, catching up with fans at races, giving you all behind-the-scenes action to take you inside this weird, mad, ridiculous world of Formula One.
I'm not sure this time last year I'd have believed you if you'd said we've been all over the world, but it's literally true. Absolutely unbelievable. Genuinely hard to believe some of the stupid stuff we've got up to.
So Lewis Hamilton, fancy coming on a podcast?
I'd love to.
Do you like our name?
Yes,
I love it. Fast, we're curious.
I love it. Yeah,
great. Max, do you ever get bored of winning? Is that possible?
No. I never get bored of winning. For sure not.
Lando Norris, welcome back to Fast and the Curious.
Thank you very much.
How do you find Miami?
I think it's a good place. It's packed with celebs and superstars, and I did some filming with Vin Diesel, some of the Fast and Furious guys. So
Fast and the Furious?
The Fast and the Furious.
We'll have to have a word with them.
You should probably try to sue them or something.
Yeah, I will. We'll look at that.
Hey, everybody!
Hello, Silverstone!
Wow. People showed up. So, this is the Fast and the Curious podcast live on the main stage at Silverstone. It's race day!
There's one more thing, Toto. When we were brainstorming ideas for the podcast...
Oh, God.
One of the features we came up with was... going to be called What's the Time Toto Wolf.
Do you get what he means?
No,
right.
What does it
okay.
mean? Okay, well, can I just ask the question then? What's the time, Toto Wolf?
It's 4, I think.
Thank you.
Dun, dun, da, da, dun.
Welcome to the Fast and the Curious live.
This
is the high bit.
Wow. Stop right, everybody! Bye, friend!
Christian, fancy doing it all over again?
Do you know what? A year's a nice random, but I'm going to say no. I think we've had a nice time. I think let's quit where we're ahead.
All right, you go back to Milton Keynes Station then. I'll go talk to Toto Wolf on my own. He's literally walked away from me. Christian, can you come back, please?
Oh, all right, you've twisted my arm. We'll stay, even though it is a bit chilly.
You actually can't leave because we've got so much exciting stuff going on today. And it would be very rude, to be honest, if you just walked off. We are in the international paddock at Silverstone. It's where the main straight is for the British Grand Prix. And it is very, very different today than what it was like in July. Mainly the weather, but also it's so quiet.
Yeah, it is. It's the paddock, you know, it's where you see all the TV presenters stood over the Grand Prix weekend. But there's only one team here, that's Mercedes. But it's very early in the morning, hence no Greg James with us. It still does look a bit like British Grand Prix because Mercedes have got the big flashy motorhome up. But they're the only team that's here. And it's sort of got that, it's a bit Christmas Eve-like, isn't it? Mm. It's like... just before the season starts proper. So it's sort of a hive of activity. There's the Mercedes lot buzzing around, but no fans, just Mercedes lot.
Yeah, so for anyone that's new to the podcast or Formula One in general, welcome everybody. We came to some of these shakedowns last year and it's where the teams and the drivers have been working away on their new car for the season over the winter break to put it on the track for the first time behind closed doors, get a few laps in privately, see what they make of it. And the most ridiculous thing is that we're going to go in there behind the scenes and check it out ourselves.
I went to Mercedes over the winter to their factory. And you see people in the factory on computer screens working on one tiny individual little part that goes onto another part, that goes onto a bigger part that forms part of a side pod. And all of these people now get to see how their part is performing on track for the first time. It's a huge year for them. It's a huge year for the Mercedes team as they try and claw the gap back to Red Bull. But of course... what a difference a year makes, because we're now going into what is, I mean, whoever thought we'd say this? So Lewis Hamilton's last year at Mercedes, and there will be such a determination from everyone here to go out on a high for Lewis's last year.
You're just itching to get in there, aren't you?
I want to go and talk to some people about Formula One.
I can actually hear a car.
What is that car? Anyway, we'll find that out, and we'll go talk to some lovely Mercedes people, shall we?
Let's go.
Come on, then.
Christian, we're going to deliver our promise here. You are going to get to speak to a driver. Of course, Toto, Lewis, George are all in there getting ready to launch a car, just the small matter of launching their car. But we have got a driver, the first driver of the day. It's pretty exciting.
It's really exciting, and I'm really excited to talk to this driver in particular. Frederik Vesti is one of the bright up-and-coming talents in motorsport at the moment. He's one of the people trying to get himself into a Formula One drive. Last year, he was Formula Two runner-up. He's going to be alongside Mick Schumacher as one of the Mercedes reserve drivers this season. And he's still going to be racing himself in his quest to try and get an F1 seat. He's going to be racing in European Le Mans in that series, which is a hugely competitive class of racing, a prestigious class of racing, alongside his work with Mercedes. So I'm excited to talk to him.
I'm excited to talk to him as well. So we've pitched up at the back of the garage. Fred Vesti, welcome to the Fast and the Curious. How are you doing today?
Very good. It's a bit cold today, but it's a big day for the team.
It is a little bit chilly, isn't it? But you've got layers on, you've told us, so you're okay.
Yeah, I'm in the suit and all good.
It's like an onion with all his layers.
Like an onion. Yeah. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much.
Are they warm, the race suits? They don't look warm.
I mean, they are pretty warm. Oh. You've got like fireproof layers inside as well, so it's quite okay.
Look, this is your first Formula One shakedown, isn't it? How are you finding it so far?
Yeah, I mean, it's a big day for the team. Everyone has worked so hard to be here now with the brand new car for this year. Personally, I've been a lot in the sim, developing with the team, trying to find some more pace and seeing how the car can develop throughout the year. So that's really exciting.
Do you ask Lewis and George for advice at all on days like this?
Yeah, for sure. Last year when I drove the car in Mexico and in Abu Dhabi, I drove Lewis's in Abu Dhabi and George's car in Mexico. And yeah, they were really helpful to just help me a bit. There is a lot of new things, a lot of systems I need to know. The engine is very complicated as well. So just to have that help from two very good drivers is helpful for sure.
Quite good people to get advice from.
Definitely.
Could be a lot worse, couldn't it? Fred, a lot of our listeners are new to Formula One, new to the world of motorsport. You obviously had a great season last year. For those that don't know, tell us a little bit about you, where you come from and your sort of motor racing experience to this point.
Yeah, so I'm from Denmark. I'm 22 years old now. I've last year raced in Formula Two. I was fighting for the championship up and until the last lap in Abu Dhabi. Before that, I've raced in Formula 3 as well, where I raced against drivers like Oscar Piastri and Logan Sargeant, in the same team as them as well.
Oh, yeah.
So, lots of experience in and around Formula 1 and the same tracks as Formula 1.
Do you still talk to them at all?
Yeah, for sure. It's obviously, when you're teammates, you get a relationship and you're just friends in a different way, especially with Oscar Piastri. I've had many good experiences, for sure.
This is a good opportunity, actually, because they're both regulars on this podcast. They're on quite a lot.
Okay.
Have you got any gossip for us? Anything we should know about them? Because obviously they put their best foot forward, don't they? But we got a chance for some inside information here.
Yeah, give us something.
I think I'm practicing still hard to beat Oscar in chess, because we used to live very close to each other. And he was very impressive, I have to say. So I think I need to have a rematch soon.
I did not know this. He's never told us about his chess hobby.
Oh, this is great news. I think he's going to be on the next episode of the podcast. So we're going to talk to Oscar about chess. This is fantastic.
Yeah, well, he's quite a high level. So really? We should do a rematch together, I'm sure.
If you come back on the podcast, we'll get Oscar on and we'll officiate your chess competition.
Sounds great. I'm all up for that.
We'll be the first ever Formula One podcast to broadcast live chess from the extreme of Formula One to the more chilled vibe of a nice game. It must be nice to sit and chill with a game of chess. I get that. Excellent. It must be quite an exciting time for you as a reserve driver, because obviously there was no changes at all going into this season, but it doesn't look like that'll be the case. It looks like we're going to have a big shuffle.
It's kind of frustrating sometimes because it's out of my control. The good thing about racing is that you can control your results. The effort you put in usually comes back in results. But being not racing now within the Formula One world can be a different role. So from my side, it's really about continuing to work really hard with the team, stay focused on my objectives this year, and just continue to improve and prove to the Formula One world that I'm ready to get a seat.
Yeah,
do you have time to enjoy it? Because obviously you'll have grown up watching motorsport. Formula One's always the pinnacle. These big names like Toto Wolff will have been around since you were a kid, and all of a sudden you sat chatting with him. You hear that Mercedes shut down. Do you get moments to sit and take it in and go, this is cool?
It's a really good question. I think everyone in this world will realize it's a very fast world. There's only one goal, and it's to reach F1. And when you've reached that, it's to become world champion. And to do that, it just takes up so much of your time, and you kind of just run goal to goal to goal every single day. I always say, like, I'm living my dream every single day, and I've done since I was 10 years old. And it's partly because of hard work, but I've also met the right people, and it's just gone the right way. So yes, I do enjoy every single day what I do, and I think that's a strength and something that everyone should do in what they do.
Well, Fred, we have loved having you on the Fast and the Curious for your debut. Hope you'll come back and join us again at some point. And we're just so excited to see you progress through even further and carry on doing awesome things. So thank you so much for taking the time today to come on, and good luck for the season. And for the, we, you know, we're itching to see you get into F1.
Yeah, my pleasure. It was nice talking to you. And yeah, I'm sure I'll see you again later down the line.
Oh, you will. We're going to follow you now.
Sounds good.
We didn't mean that to come across slightly stalkerish as it did. You know, we'll give you some space, you know.
Yeah, a little
that's
bit
good.
Of space.
Perfect.
All right, Fred's gone. We're like a revolving platform here where we're just bringing people in, because the next driver coming in to talk to us is the other reserve driver for Mercedes.
Yes, yeah, so cool to talk to Fred. Lovely to get a new young driver on the podcast. And now it's time to get Mick Schumacher on, who we've been chasing for such a long time. Really excited to speak to Mick. He's got so many fans in Formula One, so many people keen to see him back in the sport as well, and obviously such an important part of this Mercedes team. And he's on his way over to us as we speak. Let's bring in Mick Schumacher.
Mick, thank you so much for talking to us. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you. How are you guys?
Very well. We're a little cold, but that's Silverstone at this time of year, isn't it? It's inevitable. Mick, you're one of our most requested drivers on the Fast and the Curious. This podcast has been running for a year now, and in terms of the drivers we've not yet had on, our DMs have had a lot of Mick Schumacher fans in them, so welcome. People have been very excited for you to be here.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm excited to be on it. Obviously a bit cold, as you guys, but not ready to jump into it and...
Mick, I'm sorry.
Racing.
You cannot say that you are cold when you are wearing what looks like a white sleeping bag.
Yeah, but I mean, it is a white sleeping bag, but the air still comes from the bottom into it somehow.
Betty's got on her jacket like a dressing gown style rope thing. If you'd like to borrow that, it might clash with the colour, but I'm sure Betty wouldn't mind, would you?
I can give you my dressing gown style rope thing if you want it, Mick.
No, it's okay. I'll stay with the white down.
Keep it in mind. If you change your mind later, we're here. Don't worry, we're
all
here.
Right, thank you.
Mick, very exciting day. We can hear, well, tell you what, this is your expert advice.
Yeah, what can we hear?
What can we hear?
The engine of the Formula One car. So it's starting up now, getting warmed up to go out later.
And that's exciting, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I think everybody's super, super happy that we're here and now able to see it fire up for the first time and go out on track and see if everything works the way we imagine it. Obviously, we only have a limited amount of kilometers that we're allowed to drive before going to Bahrain, but I think everybody's really keen on doing that.
Talk us through what you do on a day like this. What's your role?
Be present. I mean, obviously, my day-to-day role on a race weekend is, in case something happens, I jump into the car and kind of have to deliver from, well, short notice. But, you know, on a day like this, it's really just about being here, being present, showing that you know, we're all united in the team, trying to get the car out together, and then just listen to what the drivers say, feedback, and kind of counter analyze that with what we've had from last year, and take it from there.
I love hearing the sound of a Formula One car when I haven't heard it for ages, and you can just hear that. Oh, it just like engulfs you. Do you get that same excitement when you first hear it?
I think it's more when I sit in it and drive it.
Yeah,
so, but
we weren't doing that. Yeah.
No, I think that the sound is great, but also, you know, the sound has changed quite a bit. That is quite different, and I think that was when I had that feeling. You know, hearing the V8 scream up and driving, for example, my dad's Ferrari in Mugello, the 2004 car, which was always a dream of mine. Just feeling those vibrations, hearing that engine, and it was amazing.
I was in the stands watching your dad race here, and the scream of those engines was unbelievable. That must have been a special thing to have gone and done, and to hear that scream, not just from standing on the side like you'll have done as a kid, but actually being in the car, that must have been a moment and a half.
Yeah. I mean, like, you really still hear the engine then? Like, nowadays, the wind is so dominant and the engine's so far behind you that you actually don't hear the engine
much. Wow, really?
So that was one of the big things for me coming from Formula 2 into Formula 1. I could never hear the engine properly.
That's so interesting. Yeah. So you don't, instead of listening to the engine, you're having to sort of like feel the car more.
Yeah. Right. So essentially you're trying to hear the car less and feel the car more. Yeah.
Oh, did you know that?
No, that's a really fascinating insight, because we speak to Formula One drivers on this podcast a lot, but each of them sort of struggles in their own way to bring that understanding of what it's like to drive. That's a lovely little insight as to what it feels like, because you are one of so few human beings on the planet to get that sensation. So any little insight as to what it's like. I suppose there still must be moments as well where you're like, I'm driving a Formula One car. Surely that never goes away or gets old.
I mean, it was definitely more last year when, obviously I was on the sidelines. You know, before, I think I didn't really appreciate the fact that I am one of the 20. Yeah. I would always say, like, yeah, you know, it's obviously great, but, you know, it was always kind of like, for me, meant to be. And now I'm in a position where, you know, I'm fighting to go back to that. So, you know, I definitely look at that and think to myself, the dream isn't over, and I still have every opportunity to, you know, to prove that I am worthy of Formula One.
Well, Mick, it has been a pleasure to have you make your debut on the Fast and the Curious. A huge pleasure. As I say, your fans have demanded it, so hopefully you'll come back on again in the future, because, frankly, we'd like to keep the fans off our back, frankly. It'd be lovely to have
you
back.
Actually, Christian, someone's joining us.
Someone's here.
One and only, Toto Wolff. He's just...
One and only.
He's just barged into your interview. That's what do you right. want to say to him?
He told me to come in here. I thought I'm interrupting you, but he gave me a microphone and said, just barge in.
Welcome back to the Fast and the Curious, Toto. It's lovely to have you back. Unexpectedly, we didn't expect you to come back so quickly.
I'd rather have a cappuccino than so they told me I need to do this.
So how are you today?
Cold.
The weather that you guys have here over here is really incredible. There's no other country which has actually horizontal flying rain. Scotland has also.
It really does hit you in the side of the face,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Oh. Because where we come from, it generally comes vertical. Here with the wind, it comes from the side.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, good insight.
Have you not wondered why you're wet on one side and not from the top?
Betty's hair has been...
That's my hair is an absolute mess right now, to be quite honest with you, Toto. So, you know.
Let's talk about... You asked me how we were. Actually, we're quite happy because it's the launch day. Mm. It's the best day so far after finally the car has been worked on. It's the day everything comes together. The bodywork is being put on the car and it drives.
Are you happy with how everything looks?
Yeah, but it looks really amazing. But, you know, it can have any looks as long as it's fast.
Is it fast?
Well, I have a crystal ball in here.
What's your crystal ball saying, Toto?
No, it doesn't say me anything. It's not good data.
obviously, a very busy winter, an unusual winter for Mercedes. What determination is there in this camp to send Lewis out on a high and to get the team moving, you know, back towards closing the gap and the Red Bulls? There must be a real air of determination, especially with, you know, a great man like Lewis making his exit. You guys are going to want to end this relationship on a high, surely.
Yeah, but it's not only the relationship that is obviously so great over these many years, but it's that we want to get this right. And what we've done is there's many bits on the car, mechanical parts that we've changed, where we believe we had some question marks over performance. So we've done that. Whether we've sorted it, it's not quite clear. We're going to see in Bahrain.
Just really want you to do it. Please.
You know, I was feeling less pressure. Now you're just wading in like this. And...
Betty Glover's added the pressure.
You know, there's more pressure now. We also want it really bad.
Yeah, I know. I know you do.
And as well as this season, Toto, how much do you look at building the future for the team at the moment? Because obviously we've just had Fred Vesti, we've got Mick next year. You know, Mercedes are in this fortunate position where there's young and exciting talents coming through all the time. How much is this season the balance between, obviously, as Betty's just said, everybody wanting Mercedes wins again this year. We all want to see that, but also putting the building blocks in place for future.
Yeah, I think we are in a good moment because we had this super successful spell with Lewis, and now we're parting ways at the end of the season. George is the massive, you know, solid pillar that stands here and is going to step up as a more senior driver. And then we got to find out what is it we want to do in mid to long term with Fred or with Mick or with some of the other potential contenders for the seat. And that's something we're not going to rush into, but properly look and evaluate.
And we've got to let Toto go in just a second. Before he does, Mick, while you're here together, what's he like as a boss and a mentor? I'd quite like to have Toto Wolff in my corner. I think
I would.
Like, I can't think of anything. What's he like? I mean, obviously he's here, stood next to you, so you're not going to say he's rubbish.
Yeah, but no pressure.
What's he like as a boss and a mentor?
No, he's amazing. I mean, I think what's really stands out to me is he always, no matter how busy he is on a race weekend, he always finds time. And that's something that I generally really, really appreciate. What else can I say? I think he's
really,
the only...
Sometimes I have a feeling that, like, I'm not here enough for you. You know, it's been busy the last 10 days.
Yeah, I mean, like...
But you know me.
that I know. also, I think he's the only, team principal and boss who would actually get into a car and drive himself. And I think that says a lot.
Oh, so you've still got feet on the ground, not leaning into celebrity or anything like that.
Oh, for me, that's the last thing. I admire people that are good in what they do, and I'm curious to understand why that is, why someone an outperformer, or why has someone got a great personality, character traits that I admire. But this whole celebrity for being a celebrity, I'm trying to, you know, to stay away. I'd rather deal with real people.
Very down to earth, I think, on the ground. You're being dragged away by your team. You're being very keen. You're busy, a busy
man.
And in demand.
I think the car
man.
Is driving, actually, now. So.
Oh, is it? Well, you better go.
Yeah, the best thing.
Let us know what you think about it.
I will let you know.
Let us know, Toto. Thank you so much for joining us on the Fast and the Curious.
Toto, you're a legend.
Thank you so much.
Love having you here.
Enjoy
Mick.
Your cappuccino as well.
Yeah, you Thanks took it the cappuccino time away from me.
We're so sorry. Bye.
Mick, Toto, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. See you later.
So as Toto said, we are now being led from just outside where we were doing the interviews. We're now in the back of the garage. Betty, you've just mentioned the smell.
Oh, okay. So we walked through here and you immediately just get hit by the smell of, I don't know, tyres, metal. What is this, that exhaust? What is this that I can smell?
It's definitely exhausty metallic-y fumes. And we can now, for the first time, see in front of us, there's George Russell straight ahead with his earpiece in, looking at the car. I'm in the way, so I'm going to move.
Christian, if you just come this way, we're being
there
ushered,
are people
ushered slightly away.
Looking at the car for the first time, which looks beautiful and slick and carbon and black. And this is the moment where, as we go up onto the pit wall at Silverstone, with some very excited looking people watching. Hi, everyone. There they are. We're going to see the car go out for the first time, being driven by Lewis, because George was stood looking at it. It's all very exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, just a bit.
Hello, Bradley. Oh, it's Bradley. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you? Nice to see you.
It's our friend Bradley Lord back on the podcast. Bradley, this is a big moment, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's always really exciting, isn't it? Because it's the first lap. And hopefully it doesn't stall and it comes out of the carriage all right.
Oh, no. Can you imagine? We got a bit of a glimpse of the car. It looks very nice.
Yeah, it's kind of got silver bits and black bits and stars and red bits and green bits. It does look good.
Do you think it's going to be fast?
Oh, we really hope so. Yeah. We think we've made progress. We just don't know how much everyone else has made and whether it will be enough. So we'll start finding that out next week rather than today.
We were just saying to Toto that as much as we're all respectful of Red Bull and as much as we try and stay relatively impartial, we all hope so too. You know, we all want to see Mercedes win
so
Grand Prix
much.
Again and be back at the front battling. It feels like it's right. It feels like it's where you belong.
Well, yeah, I think we try not to think of it that way, because
if we
belong there, that's going to be a problem. But look, we want to be in that battle. We want to be closer to Red Bull and in that battle with Ferrari, with McLaren, with Aston Martin. And you know, how epic would that be if you had four or five teams fighting for race wins this year? That would be a real thriller of a season.
It'd be
for
a lot of fun.
It'd be absolutely massive. And obviously, you know, we want to make this a great season for George and a great last one with the team for Lewis. When we last spoke, that wasn't on the horizon at all.
So. Well, that must be such a driving force for you guys to just send Lewis off on a high.
Yeah, I think, I mean, he's super motivated. He's focused like almost never before to make this you know, have this beautiful story finish in the right way. And I think, you know, whatever follows in the future, Lewis will remain the most successful driver in Mercedes history for many, many years to come. And yeah, we all hope that we can write a really cool final chapter to the story.
And as Chief Communications Officer at Mercedes, quiet winter?
Yeah, quite chilled actually.
No, God. Just been,
yeah, sort of 9 till 4 and kicking back.
By the way, you need to apologise to Toto for us because he's annoyed because we took his cappuccino time away from him.
Okay, I'll pass on the
You
apologies.
Don't seem that bothered.
It's okay. Was he on time?
Early, if anything. We were still in the middle of interviewing Mick and he
rocked up.
Bowled in. It was a massive surprise, a lovely surprise.
He's, in that case, taken the cappuccino time away from himself, though, if he's turned up early when he could have been a bit later.
Bradley, thank you for having us here again today. Thank you for having a little chat to us as well. We're going to go to the front of this metal gate now. Thank you, Bradley.
Thank you. See you later.
Thank you. Enjoy.
You too.
We're going to see the car for the first time.
Christian, they've just moved the screens out of the way. We can see the front of the car. What do you think? What are your initial thoughts?
I mean, it looks amazing. A bit more silver on it than last year as well. Even in this era of
black,
we've got a silver front. It's interesting that both Ferrari and Mercedes have changed the shape of their front wing, of their noses on the car. And what that says to you is that they're both trying to close the gap to Red Bull. And they're both mixing up the design. It shows you that they're trying to change things round.
It's just sat in there. You can hear the noise. They're getting ready to send it out. They're taking the tyre covers off.
And by the way, what a moment this is for Lewis Hamilton. The car's being fired up. The blankets are about to come off, as Betty's just said. And Lewis, in his mind, knows that this is the last ever time he will drive a Mercedes Formula One car for the first time.
But we're also stood here surrounded by Mercedes staff who also know this is the last time they're going to see Lewis Hamilton doing this. So here we go.
And Lewis goes past us.
Oh.
Listen to that sound. And you notice even as it pulls out the garage, the back end of the car twitches a little bit. He's immediately getting heat into the wet tyres for this damp day at Silverstone. And Lewis Hamilton is taking his final ever Mercedes Challenger for its first ever run.
I just got shivers up my arms when I heard that sound. There was actually nothing like it. And I know it's not as good as it was back in the day, like Mick Schumacher said, but oh my God, that sound goes right through you.
It's still so loud and it still dominates everything around you. And even though we're stood on concrete pillars with metal gates, like proper sturdy structures, it vibrates everything around you.
Okay, so we've just made our way back outside, away from the track. It is still windy, it's still a bit drizzly, just so everybody knows, but we are joined by a very special guest who we haven't had on the podcast before, James Allison, Mercedes F1 Technical Director. Welcome on the podcast, James. For those that don't know, including myself, what is it exactly that you do? What is a technical director?
I often get asked that, and when I start to describe it, it just sounds like I've got the world's most boring job. So it's never possible really to convey with a description of my responsibilities how much fun my job is, because my responsibilities are to make sure the car is legal, follows all the rules, make sure it's quick, make sure it's reliable, make sure we don't hurt anybody, and to make sure that all the money we spend on developing the car is spent wisely and that we organise ourselves properly. And that just sounds like any boring manager guy type job.
Sounds like a big job, James.
Yeah, but the reality of it is we get to play with cars, get to have fun, work with a bunch of other people who like making shiny cars go quick, and just have all the thrill and challenge of what is a ridiculously competitive environment, but one where there's a lot more laughing than there is shouting.
Well, that's good. And we like to say that on this podcast, don't we? There's more laughing than there is shouting. We just about manage it.
Just about.
I've almost... Well, no, I've not. There's no almost about it. I've got more admiration and respect for people like James than I do the drivers, because I'm the least technical man in the world. So I can't fathom your guys' brains to be across all the technical details when you walk through the factories and see the tiny little details. You guys must be incredibly intelligent to stay across so much technical stuff.
I'm not sure that there's any remarkable intelligence involved. It's just...
I disagree. There must be.
We find we find fun stuff that other people would would find dull. You know, we enjoy being really anally retentive about really small details. And there's a lot of us. So when you look at a Formula One team, you can see there is a massive amount of detail, and it's quite easy to be intimidated by that or overwhelmed by it, because you think, how could anyone have their head round it? Truth is, no one has got their head round it. All of us have a certain amount of competence, but working together, we end up collectively covering all the ground necessary to be able to do something as rich and varied as take a car around all the circuits each year and do a decent job of that. But absolutely nobody has a top-to-bottom understanding of the car, and it's only when you work together as a group that you're able to do it.
Never thought of it like that even people like yourself don't know what certain bits does, but there's other people that do. It's such a fascinating sport, isn't it?
Well, I've liked it. I used to play rugby at school a little bit. I was dreadful at it, but I liked rugby because there was the sort of position on the pitch for all shapes and sizes.
What position were you?
I was a second row, a lousy one, but a second row.
Okay.
And the Formula One team's like that, but massively more so. Any personality type and any skill, there would be a role in a Formula One team that person would slot into and feel at home, because it is a sport that asks an enormous amount of the team in total, and you need a very wide range of types of people to be able to make the team function.
What's this winter break been like for you then, I imagine?
Winter break.
Not so much a winter break.
Did you get
break?
So much of a nap at any point? Was there a day off?
Yeah, it's a funny thing working in the sport, because everyone asks you, oh, you must be able to kick back now the season's over. And the busiest time by far in the factory is November through to Easter. And the concept of a sort of winter break doesn't exist. It's when everything is coming together for this new car, hundreds and thousands of pieces having to be conceived, designed, made, tested, bolted together, and then all culminating in today, where the thing gets put on a track. I mean, it was only together as a car for the very first time last night. That's how late it happens, and the tsunami of activity in the factory to deal with that is breathtaking.
Even for someone like yourself who's been around the sport many years and achieved such amazing things, on days like today, is there still the nervousness of will it drive, as you say? Because this is still motorsport. It's still like the equivalent of back of a van at smaller circuits. Like, there's still the element of, we've stuck it all together, will it go? Or are you very relaxed at this point?
No, definitely not relaxed. You're full of hope, full of anticipation, because there's so many thousands of things that could go horribly wrong, in terms of us not getting the bits together, in terms of us making them not strong enough, not being the right shape to create the lap time that we're hoping for. That's a big old list of things that are stressful, and so I tend to sort of smile my way through the days and then sleep poorly at night.
You guys must still love it, because you guys give up so much of your lives to go traveling around the world to be on cold Silverstone mornings like this. How much do you love being a part of this team?
I think that anyone who has been in this sport for any length of time, if they don't feel fortunate, then they want a good slap, because it's just...
What a quote.
It's, I compare myself to my brothers and sisters sometimes and see the slightly more regular working lives they've picked, and they don't get the fun that we get. And they don't have, above all else, they don't have this amazingly clear thing, which is, we know exactly what we're here for. We're here to design a car that's quicker than anyone else's and to win a championship with it. And most jobs are more blurry than that, whether you're maximising profits or looking after shareholders or customers. You just don't know. Whereas in this, it's really clear.
You've got your aim.
Yeah, and it tends to make everyone band together. It means you don't really have internal fighting, because you've all got that one thing you're seeking. And I really like the tribal fellowship that brings.
Yes.
And just brings with it a joy in work that not everyone is lucky enough to have.
And togetherness.
Just finally, on that big aim, are you confident?
No, I think you'd have to be psychotic to be confident without the evidence of having run up against the other teams. I'm happy that we set out an ambitious program for our car. I'm happy that all the things we think we've made improvements on that we've measured improvements in virtually and on rigs. I will only actually rest easy when we've run it against others and found out in anger whether that's come true.
We don't think you're psychotic at Mercedes. We think you're all brilliant, and we hope that you guys can have a great season with George, send Lewis out on a high, and we honestly wish you all the best this season.
The biggest thing, I just hope that you get a good night's sleep soon.
Yes.
Well, me too. That'd be nice.
James, thanks so much for being on the Fast and the Curious. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
How brilliant to speak to James Allison. Betty, I do have one worry.
Oh, go on.
The fact that people in Formula One are saying they haven't had any sleep before pre-season testing.
Yeah, it's not looking good for James, is it? I felt like saying, mate, it's only going to get worse. The season hasn't even started.
Shall we interview James at the Vegas Grand Prix, where the man will just be a walking zombie, be like, I've not slept since February.
But you know when people haven't slept very well, but they sort of like just stand there smiling and like sort of laughing at themselves? That's what he was doing the whole interview.
He
was just a bit like hysterical.
He'd gone lack of sleep delirium.
Yeah.
At shakedown.
By the way, you might be able to hear that we are currently in the car because we are driving to the other side of Silverstone. We'll explain that in a moment. But Mercedes, Christian, it was a nice little day, wasn't it?
It was a lovely day, really lovely atmosphere, and easy to say at this stage because it's very, very early doors, but there did seem, I would say, a relaxed positivity. It seems that they think they've made improvements. It's always at this point the big hope is that the others haven't made more of an improvement, but Mercedes definitely feel, I think, they're on to something. There was definitely some positivity from Camp Mercedes today, which I enjoyed.
Mick, by the way.
Yes.
What a legend. And how blue are his eyes?
Eyes are so blue.
So blue.
Betty,
so
you actually blue. Said earlier that you thought you could dive into his eyes.
Sounds a bit weird.
Sounds a bit, yeah, when you say it back. Honestly, we've had such a good day with the guys. We're all hoping to see an upturn in Mercedes' fortunes this year. And as Betty said, we're currently driving across the Silverstone circuit in producer Jimmy's Nissan Qashqai because we're going to speak to our wonderful friends at McLaren. And that is what's coming up on the next episode of The Fast and the Curious. Who will we be speaking to, Betty Glover?
Well, we're going to be speaking to Lando Norris and Oscar Piastri, as well as the big boss, Zak Brown.
Excited to have Zak back on the podcast. He's not been on for a while. And of course, two of our absolute favourites in Lando and Oscar. Please let us know what you've thought of this Mercedes Shakedown episode. For me, Betty. For me, Christian Hugo. All right.
Keep that in, Jimmy.
All right.
Keep that in.
I am not Betty Glover. For me, Christian
Hugo. You wish, babes.
Yeah, because that would be a relaxing way to live your life, wouldn't it? For me, Christian Hugill, and Betty Glover, bye-bye now.
Bye.